Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about Charles McKay's extraordinary popular delusions and the madness of crowds. Sophie, I have to ask, did this book make you feel a little bit better about humanity, or a lot worse?
Honestly, a lot worse at first, but then kind of better by the end. It's this amazing book from 1841 where McKay collects all these insane moments in history when entire groups of people went completely bonkers together. And the thing is, you read it and you realize we've been doing this forever.
Right. And the first story he tells is the tulip mania in Holland in the 1630s. I mean, people were trading single tulip bulbs for houses, for carriages with horses, for 12 acres of land. How do you even get there?
Yeah, a bulb called the Semper Augustus sold for more than a comfortable house with a garden. And it wasn't just the rich, weavers, servants. Everyone was quitting their jobs to trade tulips. The craziest part? They never even planted the bulbs. It was pure speculation.
And then it just collapsed overnight. One person sold, then another, and within days those bulbs were worthless. But here's what I kept thinking. How is this different from what we see today? Cryptocurrency, meme stocks, even some housing bubbles?
It's not different at all. McKay's point is that the pattern repeats. He also covers the South Sea bubble in England and the Mississippi scheme in France. Same story. People get convinced that a company is going to make them rich, shares skyrocket, and then it all implodes.
The Mississippi scheme, though, John Law convinced all of France that paper money and colonial trade would create limitless wealth. And people believed him. They were lining up in the streets to buy shares.
And in England, the South Sea Company was so ridiculous that new companies popped up promising things like importing jackasses from Spain or making perpetual motion machines. There was even one that said it was a company for carrying on an undertaking of great advantage, but nobody to know what it is. People still invested.
Because everyone else was doing it. That's the core of it, isn't it? McKay says that when you see your neighbor making money, you don't think he's lucky, you think he's smart. And then your own purchase validates it for everyone else.
Exactly. It becomes this closed loop of mutual reinforcement until the loop breaks. And then people are left wondering how they were so foolish. But the book isn't just about money. The witch craze is maybe the most disturbing part.
Oh, the witch hunts. Between the 15th and 18th centuries, tens of thousands of people, mostly women, were executed for witchcraft. And it wasn't a fringe belief. It was endorsed by the church, the state, the universities. They had this whole demonology.
There was a book called The Malleus Maleficarum, The Hammer of Witches, that was a bestseller. And the logic was airtight. If a woman confessed under torture, that was proof. If she denied it, that was also proof because the devil gave her the power to lie. You couldn't win.
It's terrifying because it shows how an entire civilization can be completely wrong about something so important. McKay says it was a perfect storm of religious fervor, political instability, and the need to blame someone for misfortune.
And that's the pattern across all these stories. When people feel uncertain or afraid, they look for someone to follow or someone to blame. They want certainty more than they want truth.
So what do we do about it? I mean, McKay wrote this in 1841, and we're still falling for the same stuff. Is there any way out?
I think the first step is just being aware of it. Knowing that crowds change you, that you're not the same person in a group as you are alone. McKay says we need to cultivate independent thought. Question things, test them, be willing to stand alone.
Easier said than done, though. When everyone around you believes something, it takes real courage to doubt, especially when doubt is punished, like during the witch hunts.
Right.
But McKay isn't telling us to become cynical. He's saying we should be humble about our own rationality. We're emotional, social creatures. We want to belong. That's not bad, it's human. But we need to recognize when that desire is overriding our judgment.
The part that got me was when he talks about how delusions persist even after they've been exposed. The South Sea bubble burst, but speculation didn't end. The witch craze faded, but belief in the supernatural didn't disappear. Each generation needs its own madness.
Because we want to believe there's a shortcut to happiness, some secret knowledge that others don't have. And when someone offers us that promise, we're willing to ignore the warnings.
So here's what I'm taking away. The next time I see a price shooting up or hear a promise that sounds too good to be true, I'm going to pause and think about the tulip bulbs. I'm going to ask myself if I'm seeing reality or a collective fantasy.
That's a good one. And honestly, if you want to go deeper, the whole library's over on 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language, plus infographics on many of them. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access.
And Sophie, last thought?
Yeah. McKay's book is a reminder that the madness of crowds is a permanent feature of human life, but so is our capacity to reflect and choose differently. The choice is always ours. We'll see you in the next one.